Well, good morning. It's good to be with everyone here in the room and online. Thank you for joining us. How's everyone here doing today? Yeah, okay. Who's excited that our children's ministry is back open? Yeah, there we go. There it is. Yeah, I am so excited to have kids and the families who are just back, some faces that I haven't seen for a while, so I'm so glad that they're just back up and running, and Student Ministries is going to be reopening this week, and so just so excited about what God is doing, and I'm excited to be together both online and here in the building, and I'm excited that we get to continue our series called Not Alone. If you don't know me, my name is Ben. I'm one of the pastors here, and we are looking at Psalm 23 this month, and the reason we wanted to call this series Not Alone is because as a teaching team, we recognize that we're in a season as a country that is just so different. And I think there's a lot of people that are starting to realize just how alone they're feeling. You know, and that loneliness can come from just feeling alone in your opinions. It can come from feeling socially distanced from loved ones. But the truth is, we can actually be in a room filled with people and still feel completely by ourselves. And so we wanted to do this series because as we look at Psalm 23, we find out that there is this running theme throughout the entire psalm that we are not alone, that God is with us. And last week, Pastor Joel kicked it off, and if you missed that message, you need to go back and watch it because there's so many powerful elements that helped us to understand the context of this psalm and the context of the series. And so I encourage you to go back, but Pastor Joel, he actually shared a story from his own life of when he felt alone as a kid. As a kid, he was on a playground one day, and he got beat up by some kids, and he was crying out for help, and the babysitter didn't come fast enough. And so in that day, he began to believe a lie that he was all on his own, that there was nobody there to protect him in his life. And he made a covenant with himself that day that he'd never let it happen again. And it was so interesting, because as he was telling the story, it brought me back to a moment in my childhood, but it was a little different. Now, I'll give you a little context. I grew up in a family where we didn't really have a lot, and I didn't know that at first, but maybe around the age of 8 or 9, I started to realize that there are some differences between my family and other families. You know, there's kids at school that they would get new clothes from the mall, and I would get my brother's hand-me-downs. Other kids at school, they didn't tell stories about weeks where their power just got shut off. And so I started to realize, like, oh, okay, my family doesn't have as much as other families. And then I started to look around at the world and go, okay, the people who have things have money. And so I need to make money. And so I need to get a job. And so at the age of 9, I went out and I got a paper route. You guys remember newspapers? Yeah, there's these ancient things. And I would get up in the morning, I'd throw newspapers on people's doorsteps. And that's how I started making money. And so it was exciting for me because then I could actually go out and get myself stuff. If I wanted to get new shoes, I was introduced to this amazing idea of saving. I would save my money and then I'd be able to buy something bigger and better. And so I just got stoked about this idea to the point that I started saving money for whatever. I was just like, I don't know what I'm going to spend it on, but it's going to be good. And so I started saving all this money and I got to the point where I had hundreds of dollars saved up. Now, for a young guy, that's a lot of money. I was like, I'm going to buy a house. And, I'm excited. And I remember one day I came home and I was told that my money had been taken by somebody. It was gone. And then I found out it was one of my family members who took my money and it was gone. It was never coming back to me. I wasn't going to get it back. You have to remember, I was like a kid. And so I just didn't know how to process this. And at first I thought it was a joke, and then I realized it was real. And then I was like, well, what the heck? And I was angry and I was frustrated. And in that moment of pain and betrayal, I made a covenant with myself. I said, I will never let this happen to me again. I will never be vulnerable like this again. Because see, I already felt like I didn't have enough. Like I was in this family where we didn't have enough. And now all that I had saved up was taken from me. And I also began to believe a lie that day. And it seemed like the plain truth to me, but it was a lie. But I began to believe that I was all alone. That nobody else was going to provide for my needs. Nobody else was going to protect what I had. And that I was never going to have enough. But if I was going to have anything, that I was going to have to provide it. And I'd love to tell you that I only believed that for a short time, but that actually carried right into adulthood. And, you know, there was an age where somebody said to me, well, hey, if you really want to make something of yourself, then you've got to go to college. I was like, well, I can't afford college. And so I was like, okay, so I got to do really well in school. And so I tried to set myself up well to go to college. And then when I got to college, I said, how many credits can I take? And so in my first semester of college, I took 21 credits. Now, any of you who've been to college, you realize that that is an insane, insane amount of class and coursework to do in one semester. But I thought, man, I'm just going to grab as much of it as I can. And but not only that, I took a job on that semester where I was working 24 hours a week doing security. So 24 hours a week was spent doing that. Then another 10 hours, I assisted this retired professor that was still involved with the university. And then on top of that, I accepted a position as the president of a campus ministry. So needless to say, I had plenty of free time. I slept for like 3 hours a night. And I was like, that's fine. That's what coffee is for. And so I thought I could just go because I was like, I'm like a machine. I can just push through it. I don't have any limits. And then I found out I do have limits. And I started, like, my body started to break down that semester. I had to go to the campus doctor, and he's like, I think you're just tired. And, you know, because I was falling asleep in classes, and I was, like, missing classes, and I'd fall asleep at work. And so I actually started to realize that this lie that I had been believing, that I was never going to have enough, and I needed to provide for myself, and I was just restless. I was just always going, always trying to get the next thing, that it was actually affecting me. And so last week when Pastor Joel, he read this thing called the anti-psalm. And it's like the opposite of Psalm 23. If we were to take Psalm 23 and write it in the opposite way, that would be the anti-psalm. And so he shared that last week. So again, you've got to go back and listen to that. But there's this one line in the anti-psalm that really stuck out to me. It really connected with my story. And here's what it said. I'm always restless. I'm easily frustrated and often disappointed. It's a jungle. I feel overwhelmed. It's a desert, and I'm thirsty. My soul feels broken, twisted, and stuck. I can't fix myself. Have you ever felt that way? Broken, overwhelmed, restless? I'd say that most of us can point to times or seasons in our life where we have, or maybe you're feeling that way right now. And the fact is that Americans overall feel pretty restless. And I actually went and looked up some statistics to prove it. 69% of Americans admitted to feeling fatigued at work to the point that they couldn't do their job well. So that means 70% of the American workforce is just like, I'm just too tired. But it's true, though, that we're not feeling rested enough to even do our job well. So we're trying to provide for ourselves, and then as we're providing for ourselves, it's like a catch-22 of just constant restlessness. 1/3 of Americans admitted to consistently not getting enough sleep every single night. So I'm not talking about every once in a while staying up too late because Netflix is like, you want to watch the next one? It's already starting. Okay. No, I'm talking about people who consistently are not getting enough sleep. And they've got to walk through every day being like, I feel so tired, so lethargic. And in 2019, it was reported that 55% of Americans didn't use all the vacation time that they were given by their workplaces. So people are given vacation time, days off, and 55% of Americans didn't use all of that time. Now, in 2020, the situation actually got worse. In 2020, almost half of vacation time given out by workplaces in America was unused because people were working from home. People were canceling vacations, and so it actually got worse in 2020. But when we do finally get to go on vacation, 67% of Americans admitted to checking their email while on vacation, while they're sitting on the beach or sitting in the cabin, and that's just the ones who admitted it. You know, so it's like they were sitting there going, you know what, this vacation's going really well, I'm feeling super rested. Why don't I just ruin this by checking my emails and see what's going on back at the workplace? And all of a sudden, all the stress just starts rolling back in. And I don't know about you, but that does not sound like my idea of a good vacation. And yet I do it too. Almost every trip I'm on, I'm like, well, let's just see what's going on. And the truth is that as Americans, we are restless people. I think there's something in the water in America where we are just restless. So what is it? What is it about us that makes us feel so restless? What is it about us that we just can't seem to enter into rest? And I want to explore that question today. And I also want to ask, can we even learn how to rest? Like, can we learn to rest before we're laid to rest? I sure hope we can. And King David, when he wrote this psalm, as he wrote verses 2 and the first part of verse 3, he was writing to the restless souls, to the weary souls that needed to hear about what rest looks like from the Lord. And so I want to read those verses, but I also want to reread verse 1, which we looked at last week. And so here's what it says, Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Now, I love this part of the psalm because it gives us a very vivid picture of what it looks like to enter and receive the rest of the Lord, the rest that God would give us. Now, I want us to understand a couple of things right off the bat. Last week, we learned that as David is declaring that the Lord is his shepherd, that puts God in the role of the shepherd in this metaphor, and that means that we're the sheep. And there's a few things that we should probably understand about sheep. Because see, then he goes on to say, he makes me lie down in green pastures. What's that all about? Well, a shepherd is going to help his sheep eat. So this is about satisfying the hunger of the sheep, that he's going to bring them to a place where they can just eat plenty and plenty of vegetation, and then they can feel satisfied. And then it says that, you know, he leads me beside still waters. What's that all about? Well, sheep, if you actually bring them to a body of water that's moving too quickly, you know, like a rapidly moving river, it freaks them out. They don't want to try to drink it, and they're not going to rest. But if the shepherd can find a really nice, slow-moving creek, some still water, well, then that sheep is going to drink until it is filled. And then once it's eaten and once it's drank enough, it's going to finally lie down and rest. And so this is the picture that King David is actually painting for us. And now whenever I've read this psalm, every single time I've read it, I always picture a certain image in my mind, and I want to bring it up on the screen here. So here in Wisconsin, when we think of a green pasture and some still waters, we're going to picture something like this. You know, you're rolling down the street in almost any town in Wisconsin, and you go far enough out, you're going to find scenes like this. But here's the thing that we have to remember. King David lived in Israel. He was a shepherd when he was a boy, and he wasn't talking about the rolling hills and meadows of Wisconsin. He was talking about Israel. And so I did a little research. What would still waters in a green pasture look like in Israel? And so I want to bring up another picture here. And this is a modern picture. You can see the power lines there. But this is a shepherd bringing his sheep to a green pasture in still waters there in Israel. Now, you can see some differences here. If you look in the background, you see rocky and sandy soil. You don't see the rolling hills of green everywhere. And so these are actually rare spots to find in Israel. These aren't everywhere. You have to actually know where they are. And so the sheep, they need the shepherd to bring them to these places. Because again, the water has to be still and there has to be enough vegetation for all the sheep. So really, only the shepherd is going to know where these places are. And so the point that we need to understand here is that sheep are not going to find these places on their own. They're not just going to go out and find these still places over in Israel. They're not going to find these places of rest. They need the shepherd to lead them there. And that's why David said, he leads me beside still waters. He leads me there. He doesn't say he just provides it. No, he actually brings me to that place where I can rest. See, sheep need to be led to a place of rest. They're not going to find it on their own. And I actually think that we're not really that different as people. I think that we need to be led into places of rest because as we were looking at the statistics, we don't really know how to rest very well. We're not that good at it as people, and especially as Americans. And so we need someone to show us how to rest. There's actually there's a passage in the Bible where Jesus, he's actually on his way to do a prayer retreat with his disciples. And this crowd shows up and they want him to preach and pray for them. And in the moment it says that he has compassion on the people because they are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. See, Jesus recognized that the people needed a shepherd. They needed someone to show them what it would look like to rest. And we need that too. And so we can look at the life of Jesus and the way that Jesus lived. He modeled rest for us. He showed us what rest would look like. Daily, Jesus would wake up and he would go spend time with the Father. He would pray and he would meditate on the scriptures. And so we could do that too. We could daily enter into prayer and meditating on the scriptures, reading the scriptures daily. Not only that, but Jesus, he would practice a weekly Sabbath. He was the Lord of the Sabbath, but he still practiced the Sabbath. And so we could take a day off every week where we could just rest and worship and enjoy fellowship. So we could do that. Not only that, but we could sleep. Jesus was so good at sleeping that he could sleep in a boat in the middle of a storm. You got to look up that story. It's wild. And so Jesus, he was like, yeah, this seems like a good time to sleep. And so sleep is actually super important. And we all know that. We've heard that. But we look at the life of Jesus, and he actually modeled what it meant to sleep and to rest in that way. But more than that, we see these patterns of forgiving sin of other people, or even for us, we need our own sins forgiven. We need to confess our sins. And it's like a burden being lifted off of our shoulders when we do that. More than that, we see in the life of Jesus the patterns of rest and celebration, that he would celebrate festivals and that he would have these times where he would go away. And so we need vacations, we need holidays, we need festivals, we need times where we can just break away from it all and just rest in that and celebrate and enjoy life. And so Jesus had all of these patterns in his life. And we look through the pages of Scripture and it is consistent that God gives these things as gifts to his people so that we can rest. So honestly, I could just end the message right there. I could just say, so put those things into practice, right? Just do it. The psalm says we need rest. We go to the Lord for rest. We do these things, and then boom, we're going to be rested people. Here's our problem, though. I have a suspicion that this isn't the first time in your life that you've heard the words of Psalm 23. I would guess that most of us have probably heard at some point in our life, you know what would be a good idea is daily reading of the scriptures and prayer. And we go, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. I'll start a Bible in a year plan and do it for 4 days, and then I'll start it again next year. We hear things like, hey, you should take a weekly Sabbath. And we go, yeah, I should do that. That sounds amazing. And we hear these different things, and we even say amen to them. We go, yeah, I'm going to do that. And yet year after year after year, we just feel so restless. So what is it about us that we can hear the plain and simple truths of God's word put right in front of us? And we can even agree that these seem like good things. And yet we struggle to put them into practice in our lives. We struggle to live these things out. And we continue to go on feeling restless and, just overwhelmed by life. Well, in my research for this message, I found out that shepherds will actually tell you about restless sheep. That there are some sheep that they're just restless. And they can be led to the still waters. They can be made to lie down in the green pastures. And yet they just won't rest. They'll actually keep on searching for more. The grass is always greener, right? Well, there are some sheep that actually believe that. And shepherds will say, these are the sheep that'll just go wandering off. They'll just go looking for better pasture, for maybe more still waters, quieter waters. And so it's like these sheep, it's almost like they don't trust the shepherd enough. It's almost like they're like, well, this is good, but maybe there's more out there. And I actually think that we have a lot in common with sheep in this way. I think that we honestly, if we think about it, we are people that sometimes God can lead us into rest and we can go, God, this is good, but I'm not sure if it's enough for me. And then we can look at somebody else and we see what they have and we go, see, I'm not sure that I have enough. And so then we need to go searching for it. We go looking for more because we need more. And so we'll go and we'll try to, you know, maybe go on one more trip, one more place to visit. Or we'll try to pick up one more hobby. Or we're going to read one more book. Or we're going to watch one more movie. Or maybe marathon one more Netflix show. You know, maybe we're going to take on one more business deal. Or we're going to enter one more relationship. And we always believe that that one more thing is finally going to give us the satisfaction we need. Because this psalm speaks to a hunger and a thirst. And our souls have this gnawing hunger within them. There's this hunger within each of us, and we can't seem to satisfy it. And there's a thirst in our souls, and we can't seem to quench it. And so we just believe if we keep on searching, we keep on hunting, finally something will satisfy us. And so we go, and we search, and we look, and we hunt. And I believe that underneath all of that is actually this fear of never having enough. That we have a fear that we're never going to have enough. And underneath that, I think there's actually a moment where we can admit that sometimes we don't trust God to provide what we need. Sometimes we really do believe that we are on our own, that we have to provide for our own needs. We need to make arrangements for our own rest, that we need to be the ones to look out for us because nobody else is going to do it. We're afraid that we don't have enough and that someday it's all going to get taken away from us and we're going to be left with nothing and no one. And so we can sometimes even not trust God and what he can do in our lives. And so we can wander off like sheep. But here's the thing about sheep is that when they wander off, they get lost. And I want to show you a picture of a sheep here who he was lost for 7 years. And they finally found him. I don't know how, but they found him. I mean, look at this guy. That fleece, that thing is supposed to get shaved off every once in a while. But man, that thing is thick. And you look at that fleece, it is filled with dirt. There's probably bugs in there and sticks and rocks and twigs. And I'm sure that thing is heavy. Like, man, what a burden for that sheep to be carrying that around. How frightening it must have been for that sheep to be lost for that long. But finally, it was found. But for some sheep, it doesn't go so well. For some sheep, they don't get found. And see, there's another danger of sheep getting lost. There's something even more dangerous when a sheep gets lost, and it's when a sheep becomes cast. And shepherds use this term, and it means that they've been cast down. I'll show you another picture here. And in this one, we see a sheep that has fallen over, and it can't get up. And at first, it actually looks funny. Like, you see a sheep like that, and you're like, oh, that's kind of funny. Pastor Joel showed us a similar picture last week. But honestly, this is actually really, really dangerous. Most sheep who find themselves in that position and aren't found in time die just like that. And so that sheep is flat on its back, and it literally cannot get back up on its feet. It's a really dangerous situation for the sheep to find itself in. And I think the truth is that there's a lot of people who find themselves in a similar situation. They're flat on their back in a situation that they never thought that they would be in. There's people who find themselves in situations in life where they realize they're flat on their back and they don't know how to get out of it. There are people who find themselves caught up in the chains of an addiction and they don't know how to get out of it. And they were just going to try something one time to just try to relieve some of the pressure in life. And now they're in this vicious addiction and they're flat on their back and they don't know what to do. There are people who find themselves flat on their back, overwhelmed by debt and bills that they have to pay, and they don't know how they're actually going to pay those bills. And it seems like the jobs aren't coming and that there's not enough finances rolling in, and so they find themselves flat on their back, not knowing how to get out of the situation. There are some people who they get hurt in a relationship, and they get just blindsided, and they find themselves flat on their back. And there's so much woundedness and so much brokenness that comes from it. And they don't know what to do. And there's people who find themselves overwhelmed by depression and anxiety, and they're flat on their back, and they don't know how to get back up on their feet. There are so many situations we can find ourselves in where we don't know how to get back on our feet. And see, when a good shepherd finds out that one of his sheep is lost, he actually responds in a very specific way. See, in my research, I found out that every night, the shepherd will actually count all of his sheep. A good shepherd will. And here's the thing. We use that term counting sheep to try to help you fall asleep. And it's the idea is that shepherds' work is so boring. Like at the end of the day, they literally have to just count all of their sheep. But it is so crucial. The shepherd wants to do this every day because if one of their sheep is missing, that's a huge issue. Jesus actually told a story about this one time. He said there's a guy who had 100 sheep, and he realized one of them was missing, just one, and he leaves the 99 to go find the one. We just sung about this earlier today, that he leaves the 99 to go after the one. And a few things we have to understand about that is he doesn't leave the 99 just roaming out in the hills, just uncared for. No, he knows that these sheep are safe and they're cared for. But there's a different sheep who's somewhere lost and more than likely is flat on its back somewhere crying out for the shepherd to come to it. And so the shepherd actually leaves the other sheep to go find it. His mind is fixed on finding that one sheep. And often we apply this verse only to evangelism, but we have to realize that this sheep was part of the flock. He was just in the shepherd's care, and then he wanders away, and he's flat on his back, crying out for the shepherd to come. And so a good shepherd will actually urgently start looking for the sheep because they know how dire the situation is. The sun is going down. There might be wolves or predators that are moving in on this sheep. And he knows that more than likely that sheep is literally on its back crying out for someone to come and help it. And so the shepherd will just run through the woods and the valleys and over the hills, just intently listening for the cry of his sheep because they know the voice of their sheep. They know what they sound like. And then he hears it. He hears the cry, and he follows that sound, and he goes over the hill, and he looks down into the valley, and there in this pit is the sheep flat on its back. And so in my research, I found out that what the shepherd would do at this time is that he would urgently get to the sheep, but then he would gently roll that sheep back over because you don't want to startle it too much, and there's actually gases that can build up, and so you want to be careful to kind of equalize it and give it back its equilibrium. But the word that they use for this is he literally restores the sheep back to his feet, that the shepherd will pick that sheep up and restore it back to its feet. David said, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. See, there are these moments in life where we realize how broken we feel. The hunger and the thirst that's in our souls that we can't seem to satisfy. And we know that we've gone searching. And it doesn't matter how lost we get. It doesn't matter how far out in the desert we find ourselves or how deep in a pit we fall. It doesn't matter how far we get from the shepherd. Is that when we cry out to him, the word says that he comes to us and he saves us, that he restores our soul, that he leads us to a place of rest. Because then what the shepherd would do is he would bring that sheep back. He would gently lead him back and he would bring him back home, bring him back to a place of safety, bring him back into his care and into his rest. So that the shepherd can provide for the sheep's every need. He doesn't chastise the sheep. He doesn't get mad at the sheep. He's so joyful that he even found this lost sheep and was able to restore him to his feet. And so what I want to do is I actually want to reread Psalm 23, verses 2 and the first part of verse 3. But now I hope that this time when we look at it, we're going to look at it with different eyes. We're going to have a different understanding of what King David is actually saying here. It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. The shepherd is coming for you. So come under the care of the good shepherd. Let him restore your soul. Let him lead you into a place of rest. I actually had to be reminded of this truth for myself just this week. This week was anything but restful for me. It was just a crazy week, and I had so many things going on in my mind and so many problems that I felt like I needed to solve. And so the other night, I was just lying there in bed trying to fall asleep well past midnight, and I'm just like, man, you know, I'm just not falling asleep. And so I thought, what are some ways that I could count the sheep? What are some things I could do to kind of relax myself? So I thought, okay, I could watch a show, maybe listen to some music. I like to play Scrabble on my phone. Anyone else? No? Just me? Okay. I saw one hand be like, yeah, okay. So I'll just play some Scrabble and so I was trying to figure out, how do I help myself to rest? And then it dawned on me what I was doing in that moment. Because see, in that moment, I was trying to figure it out for myself. I was trying to fix my own problems. I was trying to figure out how to solve them, which is why I was up late. And then I was trying to figure out how to provide rest for myself. As I'm preparing this message, I've been studying for this for weeks. I'm ready to preach it to you. And here I am in my bed just going like, oh man, how am I going to get some rest? And it just dawned on me how I wasn't going to the source. I wasn't trusting God for the rest that I needed. And so I literally stopped right then and there, and I began to pray, and I just said, Father, you are good, and you provide your rest for me. Jesus, you're my good shepherd, and you literally make sure that I don't have to want anything, that you provide for all of my needs. And I know that you will bring me to a green pasture. You'll make me lie down. You will fill my hunger to the point of satisfaction. And Lord, my thirsty soul will be quenched as I come to the still waters that you lead me to. And you will restore my soul. So Jesus, do that in my life right now. Holy Spirit, come to me and just fill me. Just fill me to the point of overflowing. I receive your rest. I receive what you have for me. And I give my burdens and my cares and my worries over to you, Lord. You can have them. I don't want them anymore. And I just want to receive your rest for me. So I prayed that prayer. And I kid you not, instantaneously, I went from feeling stressed and overwhelmed and restless to just feeling at peace and feeling his joy and feeling his love and feeling his goodness. See, I needed to be reminded that my rest comes from God and God alone. I needed to be reminded that even as I'm preparing for this message, that I myself need to receive his rest. Let him restore my soul. And I want to invite you to do the same thing. I want to read some scriptures over us. And as I do, I want you to picture yourself as that sheep. I want you to picture yourself as that sheep who's been flat on its back, calling out for someone to save it, and then your shepherd comes and he finds you, and he restores you to your feet, and then he leads you to a place of his luxurious love, of his rest. And I want you to imagine a place where you can drink deeply of the waters of life. Jesus said that he has the water of life. And then I want you to imagine just eating to your fill. Jesus said that he's the bread of life. He said that we don't live on bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God. I want you to imagine your soul just feeling completely satisfied. And whether you're joining us online or you're right here in the room, I literally want you to allow yourself to relax a little bit, to realize that it's okay, that you're in the presence of your shepherd. I don't want you to be focused on me. I want you to be focused on what God is trying to do in your life in this moment. So I want to read some scriptures over you. And I want you to hear them and meditate on them and receive from the Holy Spirit whatever it is that he needs to do in your heart and in your soul today. And as you do, I want you to just imagine these words filling your soul, filling your hunger and your thirst so that you can be satisfied in his presence. Psalm 62 tells us this. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock and my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. In Matthew 11, Jesus said to the people, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." In the book of 1 Peter, Peter writes to us, "Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. So take all your worries and all your troubles and all your anxieties and you give them over to God. Why? Because He is a good shepherd who cares for you. He wants to take your burdens from you and He wants to give you His rest." When Paul was writing to Timothy, he told him these words, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And so though fear can hold us back from entering into the rest of God, He didn't give us that fear. But instead, He gives us His power at work within us. He gives us His love that casts out all fear. And He gives us a sound mind. Maybe your mind has been racing with anxious thoughts lately. And what you need from Jesus right now is the gift of a sound mind, a mind that is at peace, a mind that is at rest. Receive that from the Holy Spirit today. And then I want to read Psalm 23 one more time. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." Father, I don't know where every person who's hearing your word today is at in their life. Lord, maybe they feel far from you, or maybe they feel like they just don't know how to enter into your rest. Maybe they feel flat on their back, not knowing how to get out of their situation. Lord, maybe they've never come under the care of the Good Shepherd, and today is the day that they could proclaim that you are Lord, that you are Savior, that you rose from the dead, and they can find salvation in you. They can find rest in you. They can find restoration and hope in you. But Lord, I believe there are many who have heard your word and have tried to submit themselves to your rest, but have found themselves wandering, have found themselves restless. God, I pray that each of us, no matter where we're at in life right now, that we can just receive from you your abundant love. Lord, we can receive your provision, that we are not alone, that you are with us, that you come for us. Lord, that we don't have to provide for ourselves. You provide everything that we need. Lord, that we don't have to arrange for our own rest, but you lead us into rest with you. And you restore our soul. Lord, I pray that what the enemy has taken from us would be restored to each person tenfold. Lord, 100-fold in each life, that we would receive your love and your rest for each of us. Lord, that we don't have to keep wandering, we don't have to keep searching, but that it can truly be found in you. May your word and your spirit just be such a gift to us. May it fill us. And Lord, I pray that we would be the people that would reflect your goodness and your peace and your joy and your rest, that when people look at us, they realize that we have a good shepherd. I pray that you would do that in our hearts. Do that in us, Jesus. We thank you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to encourage you. I hope that today you can walk into the rest of your day feeling the presence of God with you, that you are not alone, that He wants to restore your soul and lead you into His rest, that we would no longer feel restless. I want to encourage you to do what Pastor Joel challenged us to do last week. Take some time this week and meditate on Psalm 23. Read the words over and over again. memorize it. Allow it to just seep into your soul. And throughout this series, we're going to continue to encourage you to do that, that you would just memorize these words, because we're going to need to remember these words and speak them over our lives long after we're done with this series. And so I want to encourage you to do that. You can go on our website. We have our study questions that we provide every week so that you can go deeper with the message, either in your own study time or with a family or with a group. I'm so thankful that you could join us both online and here in the room. I hope that you join us next time. But now go with God's peace and his rest. God bless you.